so much.
Peace. This is Atan Thomas, and you're listening to WPFW Washington, your station for jazz and justice.
Whoop, tap, tap, a tap, tap, whap, bop, tap, a tap, tap. Gold Mary in the bag and tied around my neck for my protection. I'm walking around, big old sack on my back, coming in your direction. What kind of tea do you like? I got it. I'm the medicine man, herb from the land, yeah. Oh, I'm the herb man, come see me. Oh, I'm the herb man, you all come see me. Hey, rosemary, calm your nerves, got peppermint leaf to get rid of my fever. I keep periwinkle to get some love now. Whoa, I got hug me clothes to make my backbone strong. Go. Cola tonic for my blood, dandelion for my bones, y'all. I can leave to keep away flies. Hot lady cayenne for my pressure. Oh, I'm the herb man, come see me. Oh, I'm the herb man, you all come see me. Get the children out the way now. No, you can't smoke this, sir. This is for salad. Yes, salad. Herb man.
And good afternoon. On this cold afternoon, we are excited here. And welcome to another episode of To Your Health. To Your Health is a program designed not only to inform, but to turn your life and health around. I am Dr. Theodore Watkins, and I'm the host of To Your Health, and I'm here as usual with my trusty, able assistant, Mr. Frank Smith. How you doing, Brother Frank?
Doc, I'm doing fantastic. Thank you for asking.
I'm so happy to have heat in my house. So when I come out of that cold, I'm not coming into a cold house, so I'm excited. You know, today we want to talk about a subject that we always play around the edges, but we want to really get into it today, and that is mental health. And we want to talk about the impact of nutrition to mental health. Now, mental health or mood disorders is something that's very, very common in our society. Anxiety, depression, stress. I mean, you know, we all deal with it at one level or another. And, you know, I've said many, many times, Brother Frank, that stress is the number one cause of death in this country.
Yes, sir.
Not heart disease, not cancer, not diabetes or kidney failure, hypertension. It is stress. All right. And so we want to delve into it and some of the other mood disorders and mental health issues that impact us. So you know, in order to do that, Frank, we brought somebody on special. Who's going to help us with this?
Yes, sir. Special he is. We have Tyrone Qualls. He's a certified integrative nutrition and health coach, and certified in lifestyle coach is as well. He is committed to working with individuals and organizations to teach them how to obtain a healthy lifestyle through weight loss, healthy eating, and regular exercise. Formerly, he was a telecommunications executive and a business owner. And he's a two-time stroke survivor, which led him into this holistic health field. Mr. Qualls was also a health ambassador for the American Diabetes Association. He is a preventative health consultant for HealthCam in Baltimore City. He's certified to teach in several areas, including disease prevention, diabetes prevention, diabetes self-management, and cardiovascular disease prevention. He is certified as a community health advocate for ABC, or the Association of Black Cardiologists, my teeth, teaching with every heartbeat in life. He's also a chairperson for Memory and Aging Community Advisory Board. He is also on the CRAC board for research at Johns Hopkins University, and he's a master trainer select for CDC's DTaC, National Diabetes.
Wait a minute, Frank. It'll take all the whole show to talk about
one
all
more,
this.
One more, Doc.
All right.
He is also a diabetes prevention consultant for Johns Hopkins. I cut his short bio.
All you got to do is say the brother is bad. All right,
he's bad.
Brother's bad. You know, I met Ms. Quarles in a project that I'm working in Baltimore, diabetes, and the brother is just he's awesome. He has a lot of information, and so. You know, this mental health is just one of the many aspects that he can talk about quite competently. So I want to welcome you, my brother.
Thank you, Dr. Washington. Thank you, Frank Smith. I know it's a little long, but
I was just playing with him. You know,
I know. But thank both of you for having me on this radio program. It's one of my dreams. I first met Dr. Watkins quite a few years ago. Actually, my holistic doctor recommended him, but my holistic doctor couldn't do a holistic health seminar for me. And Dr. Watkins took his place and was on a panel. And that was in Baltimore for one of the boards that I'm on at Johns Hopkins. So I really feel honored. It's a pleasure to be here with you, with Dr. Watkins, such a noted doctor, such a noted holistic doctor, such a noted man, and a Black man, period, that is in our neighborhood and trying to get people.
That's enough.
Okay, you can pay me later, Doc.
that's enough. But it's been a real pleasure over the months that we've actually worked together. There in Baltimore, and we're really starting to see some fruits of our labor, and so we'll perhaps talk about that at another time.
Right.
But this area of mental health, this mood disorder, you know, we talked about anxiety, depression, stress. How common is this actually in our community? Is it something that's very common?
Well, it is a lot more common than people think, and I like to talk about from a mental health standpoint, talking about the anxiety, depression, and like you said, stress is the number one indicator of disease. But stress, black mental health is so important, and that you can relate that to some of the kids in the school, some of the children, our people dealing with schizophrenia, dealing with bipolar, dealing with all kinds of mental issues, and just dealing with, there is a new thing that I've been reading up on and doing some research, and it's called post-traumatic slave disorder, which deals with Black mental health. And it's not a thing that doctors can bill for yet. They normally put it under the category of post-traumatic stress disorder, but for Black people, it's slave disorder. So Black mental health is just so important, and we don't know enough about it. Our community doesn't realize, and it affects our mood, it affects our attitude, it affects our behavior, how we interact with people. So, and I know you know this, Doc, healthy eating is just the key to all of this, and we're going to talk a whole lot more about that. So you're right, it is I think the numbers are not as low as a lot of people think. I think their numbers are very high in the, and especially in the community where they have food deserts and food swamps.
You know, I think people probably are aware that these issues are high, but I think we over them. You know, we don't really treat them with the respect that we need to treat them. You know,
exactly.
And so you know, because everybody's stressed out, everybody anxious, everybody depressed.
Exactly. Right.
And we're clearly aware of it, but you know, it's like, you know, you can't do nothing about it. You know,
well, it's kind of like a taboo thing, because people, you know, people don't, you can't, you know, sometimes see mental illness. Maybe somebody reacting, but it's not like a broken leg or you have diabetes or, you know, a heart attack or you have a stroke, something like that. Those are the things that we normally talk about. But when you start talking about mental competency and memory loss and how people, they, you know, it's not something
they
won't talk about it. They won't talk about it. You know, a lot of times
you try to call me crazy, man.
Crazy, exactly. Just what I was going to say. Yeah, people won't talk about, oh, you know, the lady down the street, you know, she's crazy. You don't want to go in her house, or you don't want to go because she's crazy. So, or man's
but
crazy.
I tell my patients, I said, you crazy. And I say, that's the reason you're going to get well. because I redefine crazy.
Mm-hmm.
All right, see, I redefine it. I define it based on the bell curve.
Right,
crazy is abnormal. All right, and so people who are abnormal are considered crazy. All right, and there's 2%, 2.5% on the left, they're in the sane asylum. But there's 2.5% on the right, they're abnormal too. I call them crazy. They run the world. But when we start looking at it from a different perspective, then maybe we can start addressing this thing more upfront and dealing with the fact that these are important factors, you know. And now you've come and you're going to say, look here, not only are we going to deal with this thing, we're going to deal with it with the one thing that you hate to deal with. And that's your nutrition, your food, you know, and it's so important.
Yeah.
So let's look at some of the reasons why nutrition is important. You know, we've talked about neurotransmitters on this program, especially L-tryptophan, for years, you know, but these neurotransmitters are important. Because they carry messages in the brain, right?
Messages to the brain, and if they're not firing, as I like to say, if they're not firing on all cylinders, everything is going on, then the neurotransmitters are not doing what they're supposed to in your brain, and you end up with a deficit. And a deficit is you know your memory is starting to go away, and you know the serotonin, the chemical that helps change your mood, then all of these things are interconnected, and we just don't talk about it enough, and we don't explain to people, you know, there is way we can treat this. You don't have to
normally when we talk about treating. From a medical perspective, you know, we're talking about drugs.
Right.
About things like Prozac and other Valium and other drugs to treat these things. The problem is that they can certainly help boost the serotonin levels.
Yes.
And maybe even help with a little depression, but they do it with a cost.
It is. And I was just telling Frank earlier that one of my mentors was the president of the Black Psychiatrist, Dr. Pat Newton. But she used to talk about this all the time in terms of, you know, she would have to, she was a known medical doctor, but she was a psychiatrist. And she, how much medicine she had to give people to calm them down, treating people with bipolar things. And but she said, there is another way, but nutrition, she knew it was nutrition, but she didn't realize how to get along. And that's, she wanted to write the book, Post-Traumatic Slave Disorder also. So if we understand that food is thy medicine, medicine is thy food, and understand the defensive systems in our body, and using plant-based philosophy and plant-based lifestyle, different foods can help you with it. The problem is that the medical industry hasn't figured out how to make money off of food.
But they can't figure it out. They're trying.
They're working on it. That's for sure.
It's amazing that foods like plantain, pineapple, bananas, kiwi, plums, tomatoes, all of these are foods that have high levels of serotonin.
Yes.
You know, it's amazing that we know this. I mean, the research has shown it for years. And yet, you know, as you said, in medicine, we just don't deal with it, you know. Now,
right.
Now you talked about, we're going to come back to that, but you talked about energy.
Well,
brain.
In the brain.
What's that about?
Well, how much energy does your brain consume? And a lot of people don't realize your brain consumes more energy, meaning the calories. That if you are taking in 2,000 calories per day on a daily basis, and I'll talk a minute about good calories versus bad calories, but the brain is the largest organ and consumes more energy than any other organ in your body. It's about 20%. So if it's 20% and I'm taking in 2,000 calories, so that's 1/5 of 2,000. So that's, you know, that's about almost about 400, calories. So your brain needs, in order to function properly, function at a high level, have good memory, good nutrition. So just like you talked about, the plantains and the pineapples, the bananas, the kiwi, the plums, and the tomatoes. One of the things that I looked at is that all the B vitamins that you get from different fruits and vegetables, vitamin E, omega-3 fatty acids, all of these things contribute to a high level of retention, a high level and reducing your risk of having Alzheimer's and dementia. So
yeah, I mean,
your brain needs a tremendous amount of energy, and we don't really kind of think about it. And it's always on. Not when you're sleeping, it's working. It's slowing down, but it's working. So you need.
We hope it's working.
Yeah, we hope it's working. Exactly.
Yeah. So it's amazing, you know. That your mood can really be determined by what you eat and what you drink, you know.
Yeah.
And they've shown that vegetarians. Now I know folks don't want to hear about this because they're ready to get their tryptophan from their turkey.
Their turkey.
But the reality is that what the studies are showing is that the vegetarians have significantly better scores on when they look at depression, anxiety,
yes,
and stress scales, you know.
Right.
And so that's something that we need to recognize. You can make whatever decision you want to make, but it's gonna cost you. All right.
Well, yeah, I think in terms of your mood. One of the things and I teach classes, as Frank in doing the introduction, I teach classes all over Baltimore, D.C. area. So one of the things that I talk to people, I said, you show me a person that eats a lot of bad food and I'll show you a person that probably has a bad attitude. And you know, we all know people that are moody, that are very negative all the time, and that have a lot of different negative energy. And I do believe people have a force field around them, and you have a positive force field, you can have a negative force field, and a negative force field is people that are always very negative. A positive force field to me would be related to healthy eating, a lot of plants, fruits and vegetables, grains and fiber. You don't have to do it 100%. Everyone, and I try to get people to make small changes in their lifestyle to get them on there. In my classes, I like to relate not only mental health, but diabetes, heart attacks, strokes, cancers, to the food that you put in your mouth. And if you can fight off those things, then you're better able to function. So if we can get people to understand that now mental health is directly related to what you put in your mouth, especially with the kids. I have this thing about, I think that if we could get those kids, they would not be angry. I think the shootings would come down. I think a lot of depression would come down. All of those things would change if we could get them to start eating more healthy food. And I made a recommendation, and this is real quick. I made a recommendation to Baltimore City Health Department. I said, food deserts, if Baltimore City took vacant lots all over the city where there are food deserts, mm-hmm. And started growing fruits and vegetables, because there's a lot of different places
yeah,
some of them
yeah,
doing
no question.
But you can solve the problem.
Oh,
if
yeah.
you make it an effort to
yeah,
put it in
yeah.
there, and it's not expensive to grow. You got a vacant lot. There's, you know, people you got.
And
go ahead.
Interesting, because the thing is that people can change. I remember years ago, I did a show on children and health, you know, normally I get a lot of positive calls, but I got a whole lot of negative calls, because people were just upset with their children. And then finally near the end of the show, this grandmother called in and she said, you know, every year I grow my garden and my grandkids come, and normally they run all through my garden. She said, but one year I asked them to help me in the garden. All right.
Mm.
I said, what happened? She said, number one, they didn't run through the garden and they didn't let anybody else run through the garden. I said, well, what about in terms of their eating? Because they grew it, they ate it.
Right.
All right. And so what you're saying can have a tremendous impact. Because if we get those young people doing positive things and we teach them how to do it, and then they learn how beneficial it is,
yeah.
we could make a significant difference. Now, one of the things that we talk about a lot on this program is this whole issue of inflammation. And we talk about that inflammation is associated with so many, many things.
Right.
And one of the things, when we come to our brain, we know that this thing called arachidonic acid.
Yes.
is a producer of inflammation in the brain.
Right.
And now, where does this arachidonic acid come from? You know, are we getting it from our bananas and our lima beans and our strawberries, or is it coming from animals?
Animals. Well, and you're exactly right. That it has been proven that animal things that come from animal is detrimental to your health. One of the things that I like to say to people, not only, and I'm not trying to veer off too much, but I may want to make sure I get this in, is I tell people anything that comes from a cow, period, is detrimental to African Americans from the health. Most African Americans are lactose intolerant, and we don't need beef. It's a tremendous amount of fat in there, tremendous amount of fat in cheese, 70% of fat of cheese. But what you're talking about is how though that bad food has an impact on your brain, and yeah. and if we don't start, and that's I know it's my mission. I try to teach classes in schools. I teach classes wherever I can, and a lot of times I have to teach doctors because doctors some a lot of my clients
I took a course in nutrition in medical school, an elective course, and it was a horrible course.
Right.
Most doctors don't know nutrition, and the reality is most nutritionists don't know nutrition.
No.
All right. Because they've not been taught.
Well, let me say this. My research says, because I have had interesting conversations, and I'll put it that way, with nutritionists and dietitians.
And argument.
Yeah. sometimes very heated ones too. But I asked them, I said, well, you know, they say certain things and I say the thing about dairy. And they said, no, dairy is okay. I said, who taught you nutrition? Who taught you to be a dietitian? There's Association of Dietitian Association. I said, the course that you learn from, who sponsors that course? Who sponsors the association? Who paid for it? Did the Dairy Association pay for it? Did the Beef Association pay for it? All these bad foods. So naturally, you're going to say that. But do your research. Find out that those things are detrimental to our health. It puts, and you know, Doc, inflammation and mucus is one of the biggest things that we got to worry about. Not so much as bacteria and stuff, but if we can get our bodies firing on all cylinders, meaning the defensive systems in our body, if the defensive systems are firing on all cylinders, we may get COVID, but we probably will survive COVID, and we can survive other forms of diseases, because the five defensive systems in our body are firing and keeping us healthy. The body is designed to heal itself, but we need to know what kind of foods to feed the monster. Yeah.
We talk about this inflammation that we get, and arachidonic acid comes only from animal sources.
Right.
Plants don't have arachidonic acid, and so right. This inflammation that's occurred in the brain is occurring because the arachidonic acid and other things that we're eating negative, all right? Because this inflammation is in fact crossing the blood-brain barrier and is having an impact. And so it is affecting our moods. It's
yes.
Affecting our anxiety. It's affecting our stress. And so we need to just face it up front. So, I mean, if you want to eat it, that's cool. You know, I tell my patient, I'm not your boss. You know, you pay me, I don't pay you. So I can't tell you what to do, but what I can do is I can give you information. And then what you have to do is use that information for you to feel good. And once we start recognizing how outstanding we are, all right, and start looking at, I was listening to a presentation yesterday, and they were talking about setting up a dream board, you know,
right.
And I've always been sort of, you know, I don't need no dream board. But as I was listening yesterday, I said, maybe I do need a dream board, because I've accomplished some things, and it's because of my goals and my dreams. But if I took the time to really delve into my brain, exactly what is it that you want to accomplish, all right? And then write it down, develop a picture of it, and then look at it on a regular, consistent basis.
Right.
They were talking about they put that dream board on the television screen. So instead of looking at TV, they're looking at their dream. And it's amazing how those dreams come true.
Yeah.
All right? And so But these negative things that we're putting in our bodies is impacting us and is affecting the way we think. All right,
no question.
We got to change that. We got to change that.
We got to change that.
No,
and Doc, you're right on time in terms of education, and that's what both of us do. Yeah. Me mainly, and you as well as being a physician. You know that we have to really understand that if we don't get our people to make some better choices, and all we can do, as the old saying, you can bring the horse to the trough, but you can't make the horse drink.
Yeah.
We give them information. And one of the courses that I teach, the diabetes prevention from the CDC, talks about best, it's okay, or worse. So you have choices,
yeah.
You know, and a choice would be, instead of eating, an apple, that I really like applesauce. Well, applesauce is, it may be okay, unsweetened applesauce, but an apple with the fiber and eating the whole apple is better.
Yes.
So,
yeah.
And they have revised the course, and now they're talking about whole foods, and we are talking about that. But you're giving people choices, and if you make some bad choices, bad results.
Yeah.
Chronic conditions, problems with your brain, your memory. Yes.
I think we need to say here, because normally about this time I'm going to the radio. I'm going to the phone, but today we're not going to be able to have our callers. But when we address this next time, we'll be able to bring the callers on and get,
okay,
and get their input. So we've talked about some of the foods that can prevent. We've talked about foods that can cause these mental, emotional, mood issues, but then there are foods that can actually treat these disorders. All right.
Right.
That can actually prevent and treat these disorders. And it's so ironic that some of the same foods that can prevent can also treat.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, I have a list of and it's called superfoods that cut Alzheimer's and improve your memory. We're talking about olive oil, green tea, leafy greens, and that includes broccoli, spinach, kale, arugula, all different kind of collard greens and things like that. Beets, tomatoes, avocados, nuts. People don't eat enough nuts. Nuts provide so much protein for us. And fish, we want to make sure it's wild-caught fish and not farm-raised fish. Blueberries, grapes. Dark chocolate, not 100% dark chocolate, not milk chocolate.
The bitter kind.
Exactly. But all those things are, you know, the food. One of the things that I learned early on was that when I was talking about clogging your arteries and in one of my heart classes, but one of the things I learned is that if you eat more vegetables tend to line your arteries and make it hard for plaque to stick. And if you can do that, you can cut your risk of other chronic disease, heart attacks and strokes, but also your mind. If can you just imagine a world that people are happy because they're happy with themselves, they're happy with what they're doing, they're happy, and they're more positive because they're eating good, healthy food. So if we can get people to just start making simple, small changes, and I know that's one of the things that you preach all the time in your practice, we can. Sometimes it seems overwhelming to people. Making lifestyle changes, because I don't like to talk about diets. But lifestyle changes is forever. And if you start making little small changes, if I need to eat more fruit, work on that. If I need to drink more water, I work on that. if I need to eat more vegetables or more fiber, I learn about that. We tend to know more about our car than we know what's going on in our body.
That's a powerful statement, brother.
We do, you know, yeah. Especially men. And I hate to say, you know, especially the black men, that, you know, they know more and they work very similar to, you know, you got an engine, which is the brain, or now you got a computer, which is the brain that keeps everything going. But we have got to start, and it's not hard. It's not necessarily rocket science. We can understand that what you put in your body is what you get out of it.
So we talked about the inflammation and what it does and the foods that cause the inflammation, and then the foods that can prevent and treat the inflammation. Those, you know, they found, for instance, that egg-free vegetarian.
Right.
Egg-free vegetarian has significantly improved reduction in both depression, anxiety, and stress on exams. You know, and all of these are a measurement of mood. You know, and so what's happening is when you eat this vegetarian diet, this egg-free, milk-free vegetarian diet, then what you're doing, you're decreasing inflammation. And you talked about the brain, and you talked about the lining of the blood vessels. Well, we've talked on this program many, many times about this thing called cardiogenic dementia. Cardiogenic dementia. And Alzheimer's is thought to be a type of cardiogenic dementia, meaning that the same kind of inflammation that's occurred in the heart blood vessels are occurred in the brain blood vessels.
Yes.
And so by eating the kinds of foods that you're talking about, all right, we're decreasing the inflammation, we're decreasing the plaque formation, we are decreasing the atherosclerotic process, you know, and so that is definitely going to have an impact on mood, because you get more blood carrying those good nutrients.
Exactly.
To the brain.
Well, let me talk about that one, because as chairman of the MACAB board, and MACAB spelled MACAB, and it stands for Memory and Aging Community Advisory Board at Johns Hopkins. What I got a chance to get them to do is change the presentations that they made and start talking more about food and plant-based food instead of just talking about what happens when you get Alzheimer's. Let's talk about prevention. But one of the things that I did work for American Diabetes Association. But when I was working with American Diabetes Association, I realized that there was a correlation between diabetes, Alzheimer's, and dementia. Because again, your brain needs that 20% that energy is glucose. That's what that's where you get it, which is another word a lot of people like to use is call it sugar. But your body turns everything you eat into glucose or sugar, and that's the energy source. So if you're not managing your diabetes or reducing your diabetes or reversing your diabetes or trying to prevent you from getting diabetes because it runs in your family, then you're going to have so many people that I looked at the data, and the data said a high percentage of people that had diabetes end up with Alzheimer's. A very, very high percentage.
You know, our friend Dr. Cheatham talked about that diabetes that Alzheimer's is type, what is it, type 3 diabetes?
Type 3 diabetes, exactly.
Yeah. Because of the impact that these negative sugars are having on the brain. And so it's you know, some people maybe get tired of it, but if you start looking at, if I make some basic changes in my lifestyle, in my diet, in my exercise, in my stress reduction, I can impact multiple organ systems
right
simultaneously.
Exactly.
So the same thing that will prevent the Alzheimer's, will prevent the diabetes, will prevent the cancer, will prevent the kidney failure. The same kind of dietary changes, and we need to embrace that instead of looking at it on negatively. We need to learn how to make these fruits and vegetables taste good.
Yes.
Like we took them chitlins they gave us and them pig feet, and we made them into, what do you call them? Exotic food.
Right.
You know? Yep. See?
Well, so they call soul food.
We have the ability to do it.
Yes.
Yeah. So we have to do is we have to use our talent. We have to stop letting other people determine our destiny.
Oh, you
can. And we need to start to determine our own destiny.
Yes. No. In my class, because I grew up one, and probably you too, I used to eat hog maws, chitlins, fat back, pig feet, all that, souse, all that stuff.
Unfortunately, I never ate that.
I grew up, but I also know that that's what contributed to the two strokes that I had. Once I learned that, I start in my class, I call that slave food number one. Our forefathers and ancestors didn't have a whole lot of choices. They had to survive on that.
They had to scratch.
But now we have choices. But now we got to worry about slave food number two, and slave food number two is fast foods, processed foods.
Mm-hmm.
That they've substituted. I quickly tell.
Why is it? That if you go into the suburbs, you don't find all these fast food restaurants.
Well, because
you go into the city, and they just bump it over each other.
It's
purposeful.
You know, one on every corner.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Well, those are what I call the food swamp. When there's an abundance of fast foods there, it's unhealthy. And people, I tell people, that food will fill you up. It's cheap, but it's cheap for a reason, because they're using chemicals to do that. To make it taste,
and they say it's chicken, but you don't know that it's really chicken.
Well, I'm glad you said that, Doc. One of the examples I give, I did some research, and I looked up a chicken nugget. This was years ago. One chicken nugget has 40 different ingredients in it, and only one of them is chicken. The other 39 you cannot pronounce. So the food chemical, the food chemists know how to combine and make the food taste good. And it's called the bliss point on your tongue. But you can change all of that. And you know, Doc, that if you stay away from something from at least 21 to 28 days, your taste buds will start to change.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I changed what I was eating. I eat vegetables for breakfast, but I use a lot of seasoning. I use the Mrs. Dash. I use some different kinds of herbs to make it taste good, and I do a smoothie, and my smoothie.
I went down. My brother unfortunately did not follow the same kind of dietary regimen that I did, and as a result, he ended up with all kinds of things.
Yes.
Hypertension, he had a couple strokes, he had coronary artery disease, he had congestive heart failure, he had kidney failure, he had all this stuff, you know,
right.
Gangrene of his foot, altered mental status, and chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, to name a few. All right, so the doctor wanted to amputate because his foot was started to turn black, and
right.
There was no pulses in there, and I said, no, he's not going to amputate. You know, he's not gonna lose his foot. And I said, the reason is, he said that he's willing to change. And if he's willing to change, I've treated worse than this. And so I stayed there in North Carolina about 2.5 months. And one day he said, Rocky, either my taste buds are changing or your cooking is getting better. I said, maybe it's a little of both, you know. But he recognized that the things that he used to eat, you know, he's now able to eat healthy food, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's been 4 years, over 4 years, and he still has his foot, you know.
Yeah.
The people they're ready to operate on him, man. They had scheduled for surgery. I said, he is, and bring the boy some food. He's going to eat. Mm-hmm. He ain't going to surgery, you know.
Well, I, you know, the class that I teach for the National Diabetes is a year-long class. And the reason it's a year-long, because people say, I can't go to class for every week for a year. Well, it's designed to have people change their taste buds, designed to have them change their mindset about the bad habits that they have. And we talk about behavior modification and habit formation to get rid of bad habits. But, if you can change the taste and understand, because I've had people in my class, they bought into making a lifestyle change right before my eyes. And I know you have a lot more that happened to you than I do, Doc. But right before my eyes, their face changed, their attitude changed, their hair changed, their skin changed, they look healthier. And you and I are in the profession. You can almost look at somebody on a daily basis and tell how sick they are.
Yeah. So we can't leave the show today without talking about. We talked about those serotonins and the L-tryptophan. And the sad thing, if you go to Google and you address L-tryptophan in food, one of the first things that's going to come up is turkey and fish. But we need our listeners to know that number one, the neurotransmitters that's found in those meat products does not impact the diminution of the mood problems, all right? Right. Actually, it makes them worse,
right. Okay?
It makes them worse. And we don't have time to go into the stock.
Say that again?
The L-tryptophan in the turkey and in the milk does not make the mood problems better. It actually makes it worse.
Exactly.
All right.
Exactly.
Because the L-tryptophan in the meat, the serotonin cannot pass the blood-brain barrier. It needs something from the brain to pluck out that L-tryptophan and carry it. And it doesn't do it for the meat. It does it for the vegetables.
Right.
It does it for the plants. All right. And so it will actually take that L-tryptophan and pull it into the brain and form the L-serotonin, which goes to form the L-dopamine, because it's that L-dopamine that actually
change your mood. Yes.
And people are giving, are taking pills that are L-dopamine, and they're just as crazy as ever. All right. Because we talked a couple of weeks ago, didn't we, Frank? Pills versus food. There's something about eating food and getting your nutrients from the food that's so much superior to getting it from a pill.
Right.
All right.
Well, you know, Doc, and you're exactly. My holistic doctor explained it to me in terms of, and you know this, a pharmaceutical drug is designed to work on one particular body or one particular thing, high blood pressure pill, high cholesterol pill and stuff like that. But there's so many side effects, and that's because the body does not work that way. If you look at spinach, kale, broccoli, it's a multitude of vitamins and minerals in those.
The same food
right.
that will help with your mood, will help with your heart.
Right.
will help with your cancer, will help with your hypertension, will help with your diabetes, the same food.
Same food.
Same food.
Same food. All right?
And so from an economic perspective, you know, but the other part of that drug that every chance I get now, I say the drug was never created to solve the problem.
No.
The drug was created to get rid of the symptom.
Yes.
That's it.
Bring the blood pressure down, to bring the sugar down. But our friend Dr. Cheatham, and Dr. Cheatham is when he retired as head of medical research for the Navy, so he's a tremendous researcher. He says that and he's an endocrinologist. He says that elevation in blood sugar is only one aspect of diabetes, for instance.
Right.
All right. And so we can bring the blood sugar down, but you still go die of a heart attack, go die of a stroke.
You know, exactly.
You'll become impotent, you know, because that medicine is doing nothing for the disease.
No.
All right.
The medicine that we get today, and I was talking to a doctor at Johns Hopkins on Saturday at a Care First affair, and we were having a conversation, and I was telling the young man, I said, medicine is not designed to cure anything. It is designed to help you manage and deal with the symptoms. I consider myself a causologist. That's my title.
Your title, yeah.
Because I want to talk about what is causing the disease. What is causing that? And that's exactly what you're saying, Doc. What causes these things? And if you deal with what the cause is, then you can make some changes.
So let's go. You mentioned it earlier, but how does poor nutrition affect our children in the inner city?
Well, and that's the thing that I really wanted to dwell on is that I think that poor nutrition has a lot to do with PTSD and dealing with attention deficit disorder in kids in school, their learning ability, and it has a great impact on it. You don't have their attention. I've known some kids that are on Adderall and Ritalin, and it makes them look lethargic, but it keeps them calm. But if we started looking at, instead of asking, well, you got this cause, and I'm gonna give you a pill to manage it, instead of saying, well, what have you been eating for the last, what's your diet like? What you eat? But mainly, I'm going to just say this, we got to talk to school administrators, because the lunches that they're serving in school is crap.
I used to have an office in Kenworth Parkside, which is a housing project in Northeast DC, all right, and I most of the patients were children, and they were constantly getting colds and flus and so forth.
Sure,
and so
exactly.
I said, we got to put a stop to this. So I went and met with the principal, and was going to do a program. And then this young lady named Helen, what was Helen's last name? Helen came to the community, because she had read about Kimmy Gray, who was over the housing public housing program, and so she introduced a healthy cookie. A healthy cookie. It was made of nuts and dry fruits and different things, and gave this to the kids. And then she started teaching classes to the mothers. And change their diets. And what happened? They stopped getting colds, they stopped getting flu, and they stopped getting attention deficit syndrome and ADHD, all this stuff. Change just by changing their diet. Look here,
yes.
Frank is telling us our time is up. He's cutting his throat. You know, but look here, man, we had a good time.
Yes.
Do this thing again.
Yeah.
Yes, please.
There's so much more that we can address, but we have to We have to cut it right now. Frank, you got some final words that you'd like to say?
Yes, Mr. Qualls, give me your contact information in case somebody wants to contact you.
Sure. The name is Tyrone Qualls. It's T-Y-R-O-N-E. Last name is spelled Q-U-A-L-L-S. My telephone number is 410-992-2634.
Do that again.
410-992-2634.
All right.
My email address, real quick, is my last name, QUALLS3001@gmail.com. That's Qualls3001@gmail.com.
Fantastic.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
You're doing a tremendous job there in Baltimore.
I'm telling you.
Surrounding areas, and we're really proud that you're our friend and that we could have you on today.
Thank you so much. I really enjoyed this. And, you know, I'm going to be high for the rest of the day. But
we had too much fun. All right, Brother Frank.
This is the best kind of high. I tell people I come to high all the time. I'm high off of good information, good food, and just good attitude. So
thank you so much.
Thank you, Mr. Qualls.
You want to get in contact with Doc, 202-388-0992, Tuesdays through Thursdays, 10 to 5, or www.twiliving.com. 202-388-0992 or www.twiliving.com. Thank you, Kalia, and all the engineers for a fantastic job you're doing, even in the move, I'm telling you. Thank you, WPFW staff. Next up is African Deep Thought Edition with Brother Kaba and then Ambrose Lane. Thank you, Joni, for what you do to keep DC healthy. One final thing. Health is the state of complete physical, mental, and social well-being, and not merely the absence of disease or infirmity. Thank you, Kalia.
Salamata. I tell and a vegan, we're vegan. I and I eat from the earth, I need the animals to give birth. No deaders, no fur, no feathers. When I tell people I don't eat meat, fish or dairy, then look for me strangely. Then I realize I eat a very wide variety. Listen to Maccabee. Yo, how when me eat, them I wonder when me eat. When me tell them, say me no eat no fish, no meat now. How when me eat, them I wonder when me yum. When me tell them, say that I'm a vegan, man. How when me eat, them I wonder when me eat. When me tell them, say me no eat no fish, no meat now. How when me eat, them I wonder when me yum. When me tell them, say that I'm a vegan. When me no eat no meat, no fish, no cheese, nah, no egg. Nothing with no foot, no eye, no wing, nah, no head. Nothing with no lip, no ears, no tongue, nah, no leg. Prefer fruit and vegetables instead.
On New Year's Day, beginning at 10 a.m., the WPFW family and the members of King Solomon Grand Lodge will distribute to those in need all of the winter gear so generously donated by our listeners. Items such as coats, hats, socks, and more for men, women, and children are available. Support for our community begins at 10 a.m. from the Lodge, 2245 Rhode Island Avenue, Northeast. Additional information at WPFWFM.org or by calling the King Solomon Grand Lodge at 202-378-3843. A very heartfelt thank you goes out to all who contributed. We wish you a very happy holiday season and a prosperous new year. WPFW and our partners continue to positively impact the community one event at a time.
Greetings. This is Brother Jamil, host of Yardbird Sweets. During this season of lights, we ask that you remember WPFW and the sustenance we provide to the community. You can give the gift of WPFW from December 15th through December 31st during our year-end membership campaign. It is indeed your generosity that has allowed WPFW to provide news, music, and information to the people since 1977. Donations can be made anytime at wpfw.org or by calling 800-222-9739. We wish you truth and